Good morning. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. And I invite you to take in your Bibles and turn to the New Testament book of Philemon. It's one that is tucked toward the latter half of the New Testament. So I'll give you just a moment to turn there. And while you're turning there, let me pose this question to you. Am I my brother's keeper? That may be a question that you may have heard before. It may be one you may have asked before. It's familiar to many people, both in the spiritual realm and the secular world in which we live in. And it comes from the story of two brothers named Cain and Abel. We read back in the book of Genesis. And how these brothers, the sons of Adam and Eve, did not play too well with each other, as the story goes. And at one point, God asks Cain where his brother was. And Cain replies by saying, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And of course, Cain knew. Why? Because out of anger, rage, and jealousy, he killed his brother and left him lay in a field. Now, the truest lesson of this statement, "Am I my brother's keeper?" is to know that yes, we do have a responsibility to our brothers and our sisters in Christ. And many, if not all of the Christians gathered here today, have been on the giving and or the receiving end of someone keeping a brother or sister in the name of Christ. It may come by way of some type of support, giving on behalf of someone, to help someone, to provide them with food during a time of sickness or birth or death of a family member. It may have come by the way of some type of financial gift or support, of offering to help pay for a bill or to supply them with money to pay for medical expenses or needs just to get by, to live day in or day out. That helping of one another, of keeping a brother or sister in Christ, may happen by way of transportation, of offering a ride to or from services or Bible studies or gatherings of the saint, or maybe to a doctor's appointment or to school or to work, or maybe lending a car to use in a time of need. Maybe it's offering babysitting so that someone can go work, or so that maybe they can attend a meeting, or maybe even just go out for a night on the town with their spouse and offer to watch over those young, precious little ones. And most assuredly, support is offered by way of prayer. Praying for the needs of one another. Praying for the saints who gather here and the obstacles that they may find as they continue to stand out to be a beacon of light for Christ in this community. These are all ways, though they're not all the ways, in which being a brother or sister's keeper comes into play. And in our New Testament, we have recorded a letter, or what I might commonly refer to as a postcard, that was written to a man by the name of Philemon. Now, Philemon was a wealthy Christian, a prominent slave owner in the city of Colossae. And this postcard was written by the Apostle Paul. And he wrote this postcard on behalf of another. This one that he wrote on behalf was a man by the name of Onesimus. Now, Onesimus was a slave. He was a slave in the house of Philemon, but he had run away and left his employment there. And he had made his way through the lands all the way to Rome. And there he met the Apostle Paul. He heard what Paul was teaching and what Paul was preaching. He learned of the Christ, and he responded. He was once a slave to man, but now he is a slave to Christ. And after this point in time in Onesimus' life, Paul convinces him to return to Philemon. After all, by the law of the land, he was still the property of another. But Paul sends Onesimus on his way with another brother, a man by the name of Tychicus. And they carried two letters, one written to the Colossians, which we can read in the New Testament, and this one written specifically to Philemon. So I invite you to open your Bibles, if you've not already, to the book of Philemon, and let us read together this letter or postcard that Paul wrote. Philemon is a one-chapter book containing 25 verses. So let's read together, beginning in verse number 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You, therefore, receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But, meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. There's a lot packed into those 25 verses. A letter that was written by Paul on behalf of another. Now, Onesimus is believed to have committed some sort of act of disobedience to his master. He had wronged Philemon in some way. Now, we're not told the specifics, and some may speculate that he may have stolen something that wasn't his. He may have damaged some piece of property of Philemon's. But the act of what caused that departure is not the issue. For us, we should recall that in Romans 3:23 we read, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Our lesson lies this morning within the aftermath. What happens after that which causes Onesimus to leave? This letter is a great example of how we as Christians are to face the consequences of our actions, to have faith in our brothers and our sisters as well as our Lord, and to forgive as we have been forgiven. Thus, our lesson this morning is centered around the three F's found in Philemon. In looking through this letter and reading that together, I can't help but see how Paul is writing to this brother to greet him in a positive way, saying the work that you are doing and those who are being built up as you come together in your own home and worship the one true living God, I praise you, I thank you, and all the glory be given to God. Knowing him and knowing by those who are meeting there, he understands that there is one who has come into his life whom Philemon knows. This slave, this runaway slave, named Onesimus. How he has come into the presence of Paul and met him and understood him and studied with him and learned from him. And Onesimus has now taken himself out of the world and decided to put himself in the hands of Christ. He says, but there is something that I am bringing along behind me, some baggage of my past. For he is actually owned by someone else in the worldly sense. So Onesimus, as he is working through his day-to-day learnings and his development as he is growing in Christ and working with Paul, Paul sees a great positive attitude and a benefit of the love and the fire that Onesimus has within him. So much that Paul says it is his desire to keep him there with him, to work alongside Paul, to grow in the faith and to help spread the gospel. Yet Paul understands this is not his place. That actually there is some undone business that Onesimus has, this tie that binds him to Philemon. So at some point he encourages Onesimus to return to the man whom he left, who by law is the rightful property and slave of the man in Colossae. But he says, go to him, and I send with you not only a brother to make this journey with you, to encourage you and to strengthen you and possibly even help protect you. But I give you this letter to deliver to where I, Paul, am pouring out my heart and my intention and my faith in Philemon. Just because we are forgiven as Christians, just because we are saved and have put Christ on in baptism, that we are consecrated, set apart from the ways of the world, it doesn't mean that we will not suffer trials. It does not mean that we will not be persecuted. It does not mean that we no longer have to face the consequences and the results of our actions, both today and of days past. On the contrary, we are still to live according to the laws of the land in which we live. And as citizens of this country and of this world, there are obligations that we must fulfill. Just not when it is in violation of the commandments of God, but in all others, let us hold true to the laws of the land and fulfill the responsibilities that we have. In fact, Jesus teaches that all who follow him will be persecuted. They will be hated. They will suffer trials and tribulations for his name's sake. A passage that we spent time talking about in the last couple of weeks is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, it says, but you have certainly followed my doctrine. You have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Persecutions, afflictions will happen to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. what persecutions all I have endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's not something that we run from, but it's not something we go looking for. It's something that we will face as long as we draw breath on this earth. But let us do so understanding that our faith strengthens us to face those obstacles, and that with Christ on our side, we can do all things for Him. Yes, it's true by reading this letter to Philemon that Onesimus had wronged Philemon in some way. But now he realizes that he must make things right. So at the encouragement of Paul, with the escort of Tychicus, he returns to face the results of his actions, to return to the one who he had wronged. And just like Onesimus, we are no different. Are there things in your past that are left undone? Are there bridges possibly that you have burned in handling them what you see now as the wrong way? Are there wrongs that need to be right? I know I'm still working on a few of mine. And lessons like this encourage me to do what's right. Maybe not necessarily in the eyes of man, but most assuredly in the eyes of God. To me, this is a part, an integral part of what it means to have a repentive heart. Repentance is understanding right from wrong and choosing to do what is right, no longer doing what was wrong. No longer doing what was wrong when faced with it again later on in life. Maybe that's a moment from now, an hour from now, a day from now, a year from now. But making those that are in our past right to the best of our abilities. Let us understand that just like Onesimus, we must face those things that we may not have been proud of in our past. But know with a repentive heart and with Christ on our side, we can make things right in His eyes. Not only are we to face the consequences and results of our actions, but we are also to have faith not only in Christ, but also in our brothers and sisters. Now Paul speaks of the great faith that he has in Philemon, faith to receive Onesimus properly and honorably, as he does return. I think it says that we're very clear in verse 16 of Philemon. Because Paul writes in this letter, it says, to receive him, receive Onesimus, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave. He says, receive him as a beloved brother. A brother who is especially to be, but how much more he will be or is to you. Because to you he is a brother not only in the flesh, but now also in the Lord. And if then you count me, being Paul, as a partner, receive him as you would me. I don't think Paul would have said that if he did not have faith in Philemon, the man who he was. The person who he was, the Christian who he was, to receive one who he had counted as a slave, to now receive him as a brother, an equal, a partner. That shows faith on behalf of Philemon. I don't think Paul is telling Philemon that he cannot have property, that he cannot have slaves in order to work the lands in which he owns, nor is he condemning him for such. He is merely making a plea on behalf of another brother in Christ. Forgive Onesimus of any wrongdoing and allow whatever reconciliation between the two of you from times past to happen. Embrace it. Give Onesimus the opportunity to make right what he feels may have been done wrong, whether that be to repay money that may have been taken, or to repair, return, or replace property that may have been damaged or removed.
or maybe to work off what we might call a sweat equity, to put forth the labor and the hard work that does have value to replace or build up something of value in its place. All Paul is doing is asking him, pleading to his loving side, to allow this healing to happen. And in doing so, Paul is showing that he has faith. Faith not just in the Lord, which is strong and pure, but faith in Philemon as a brother in Christ. Faith that Philemon will hear and accept this plea and allow Onesimus to return as a beloved son of God. Verse 21 shows this as well, where Paul writes in verse 21 of Philemon saying, "Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. I ask for this, but I know in your heart, with Christ in your heart, you will give that and offer so much more." Paul has faith in his brother Philemon. But let us not forget that yes, we are to face the consequences and results of our actions, but they were to have faith that abounds in Christ, but also faith in one another. But that finally we are to understand that we are to forgive, for we were first forgiven. When we are wronged by another, we are to forgive. We're not to seek retribution. We're not to plan schemes of retaliation. We're not to fill our hearts and blacken them with anger or wrath or revenge. That's the world's eye. The world cries out for justice. The world says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus says in His great wisdom and authority, as we can read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, as a part of what we commonly refer to as the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says in this prayer, pray like this, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Do you see the two intertwined? Do you see that one is the result of another? That yes, we are to ask for forgiveness, but do not drop upon our knees and beg forgiveness from our Lord and Savior if we are not willing to forgive those who seek forgiveness from us. Let us do as that which has been done for us before, and be mindful that forgiveness is what we are to have in our hearts. Jesus continues to reemphasize this thought a little bit later in verses in chapter 6 of Matthew. For he says in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, he says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, if your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." It's a two-way street. Let us understand that if we are to ask for forgiveness, let us go with a forgiving heart before the Lord, holding no grudge, letting the past be the past. Offer forgiveness to those who feel they have done us wrong and come asking for it. For what right do we have to ask the Almighty Father to forgive us when we have no forgiveness in our hearts for one another? Many times this is focused upon as a rule. A rule for the Christian that when dealing with the people of the world, we are to forgive their shortcomings. We kind of expect those things to happen to those who are living in the darkness, to do wrong to those that are around them, to be spiteful, to do the things which are wrong, to have evil come from their hands and from their mouths. It is somewhat easier for Christians to forgive those who do not know better. But that's not the case here. It's not the case here because here we see where the two have become one with Christ. We're talking about those who are brothers and sisters of the Almighty. We have all put on Christ in baptism. As children of Christ, we are joined together in this spiritual family. And that not only is this rule to forgive someone applied to those who are living outside of Christ, it most assuredly applies between us as brothers and sisters. It applies to those of us who are members of the church, the household of faith. Because remember always that the household of faith is not made up or filled with perfect people. It's made up of people who are striving to follow and live and to serve the perfect one. Though we're all human, though we all fall short of the glory of God from time to time. So let us forgive so that we may be forgiven, especially to those who we might hold to a higher standard, those of a like precious faith. You know, just as a side note, we see in verses 18 and 19 what Paul writes. Paul says in verse 18, "But if he, being Onesimus, has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account." He says, "I, Paul, am writing with my own hand." He is not having someone else write this letter. He has not required the skills or the time of a scribe or a learned writer. He is writing this himself, saying, "Put that on me if there's anything that he owes." He says, "I will repay. Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides." Paul goes out on a limb here, doesn't he? Paul offers to bear any burden that Philemon has or has had to carry from the actions of Onesimus. Has anyone ever gone out on that limb for you? Now think back to the story that we read of in Luke chapter 10 about the Good Samaritan. It's a very similar story in the lesson of where there is a man who has been beaten and has been robbed and has been stripped and left for dead on the side of a road. And the story tells of how a priest comes by on this road and sees the one laying there wanting and in need. And the priest simply crosses over to the other side to pass by. The same action is taken by a Levite that comes. As the Levite comes and approaches and sees this one laying on the side of the road with nothing, left for dead, beaten, bleeding, helpless, the Levite simply crosses over to the other side to not be bothered. But then there comes a third man, a Samaritan of all people, so the story tells us, one who is looked to be lesser than everyone else, not worthy, this man from Samaria. But the Samaritan encounters this man. He sees him there, and he tends to his needs. He dresses his wounds. He gathers whatever things are around and puts this man on himself and takes him to the nearest town, stopping off at an inn to lay the man there. And he goes to the innkeeper and gives the innkeeper 2 denarii and says to take care of him. "And whatever more you spend when I come, I will repay. Don't bother him with that burden. I will take that upon myself." The Samaritan does that, not for himself, but on behalf of another. Has anyone ever done that for you? Has anyone ever gone to great lengths on your behalf? when they've benefited nothing from it? Have they ever gone out on a very long, thin, steep limb for you? Many have on my account. And I dare say I'm not the only one gathered here today who can think of those times. And sometimes we're called to do that in order to be our brother's keeper. And it is right to do so. How do I know this? We read of where Paul did it. And that is what Jesus did for me. He went out on a limb for me, for I was lost among the sheep. And I was the one that He left the 99 for, to come and to save me. He bore the burden of my sin, just as Paul offers to bear the burden of this one. But Jesus died for me. And He died for you. For I was once forgiven, so therefore I shall forgive others. When you think about this lesson of this letter written to Philemon, understand that we are to face the actions, the results of our actions, the consequences. We often embrace the benefits of the good things, but let us understand that we're responsible for all reactions, all results, and all consequences. And let us face them honorably and properly. Let us reaffirm our faith in Christ, but also in one another, as we're all children of God. And let us not only build upon that faith each and every day, but let us also have hearts of forgiveness, knowing that we have been forgiven. If you've not put Christ on in baptism, the waters are made ready. We can help baptize you into Christ and be a member of His kingdom this very moment, if that's your need. Or if you have veered away, stumbled off of the path, that you've not had that forgiveful heart. If you've run away from the actions and not standing boldly, if your faith has wavered, can we help you with that today? Can we help you strengthen the bond that you have between you and the Savior who died for you? If there's something that we can do to help, I encourage you to do that now. Waste not another moment. Let us know what we can do to help. And that time has now been given to you as we stand and as we sing.